your Bible and let's turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 5, and I want to begin with a very interesting verse, a very interesting passage that talks about prayer. This is our fourth session, our final session in this seminar, but as I said in my prayer, I don't believe it's the final thing, amen? You're going to go forth and begin to pray the Word. Let me see your hands again, those of you that prayed the Word today. I want to see that again. Praise God. That's called obedience right there. All those people. All right, let's look in chapter 5, and I want to look at verse 8. It says, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden," mark this, "vials full of odors," or incense, "which are the prayers of the saints." I want you to see that your prayers are literal substance in the spirit realm.
Hallelujah.
Now, I don't know how God stores up prayers. Don't ask me to describe that to you. I don't know. But I know the Word says, in some form or fashion, our prayers, I want you to get away from the idea that it's a psychological release. You are actually sending forth substance to God that He can store up and at the appropriate time pour it back out in the form of the answer for you and the physical manifestation. But prayer is physical substance. It's substance to God. I mean, it's just as much physical to Him as this chair that you're sitting on. It's what He can use to form and shape that provision that we saw, 2 Peter chapter 1, all things for life and godliness. It's substance in the spirit realm unto God. Now, we have covered a lot of material. Let's review the 10 keys very quickly that we looked at on Sunday. Number one, we said the first key for miracle-working prayer, I want you to get a flow of what we're talking about. Number one, come boldly and confidently before the throne of grace. You've got to have that established for prayer to be working miracles. Number two, pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Why? One, Jesus is God's only provision for man's sin. And two, Jesus has given us the power of attorney. The third key, base your prayers on the answers in God's Word. That's what we talked about all last night. We spent an entire session on that. What's the passage that I told you to pray every day for 30 days? Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. Don't go beyond 14 now. And Galatians 3, what?
13,
amen. All right, number four, develop an image of the answer and not the problem. Key number five, believe that you receive when you pray. Believe that you receive right when you pray. And you can really see it tying in with this passage in Revelation. You can believe you receive when you pray because it's substance unto God. He stores it up in a bottle. Amen. He's got bottles of prayer sitting around up there for every need. All right. Number six, realize that you are the righteousness of God. The first thing the devil will hit you with after you believe that you receive when you pray is he's going to say, you're not good enough to receive it. No, I'm the righteousness of God. And you have to tie that thing in with prayer and not just with faith. Number seven, realize that you are involved in spiritual warfare. If you don't do that, think about it. If you leave that one out, you'll get bitter towards God and say, well, you know, he's just holding my answer up. No, he's not. There's spiritual warfare. Number eight, this is the one we're going to spend our session on tonight. Realize that you can pray with the Spirit according to the will of God and interpret your prayer language back into yourself. Number nine, get rid of all unforgiveness, strife, and sin. These are enemies to miracle-working prayer. Get rid of it. It'll plug up your channels. And number 10, praise and thank God for the answer. Now, I said that there were two. That's just the foundation. Remember that. That's not how to pray. That's just the foundation. I gave you two basic tools to pray. The first one we went over last night was what? Praying God's Word back unto Him. And tonight, we want to get started right now in the second tool, praying with the Spirit. Praying with the Spirit. This is based on key number 8 that we just covered. Realize that you can pray with the Spirit according to the will of God. All right, let's go to Romans 8 and get right into it because we are going to have a fantastic time tonight. We're going to have a group session. You're going to learn how to pray in tongues. If you don't know how to do that yet, then you're going to learn how to interpret back to yourself so that you can know how to pray with your understanding right on target. So I said, I'm headed out the back door right now. Lock the doors, man. Praise God. We're going to have a good time. I call a good time sitting around speaking in tongues and interpreting. All right, Romans 8, and let's begin with verse 26. Very familiar passage, but I want to bring out some things. Romans 8, verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. So I want you to realize right up front, you've got an infirmity. I've got an infirmity. And that is that I always do not know how to pray right on target. Now, most of the time I do, if I will use that tool I gave you last night. In other words, if I'll learn to pray God's Word back to Him, that'll cover most everything. Amen?
Amen.
Because the promises will cover it. But there are areas where I need more specific insight on that the Word doesn't necessarily cover. What size house to buy? I can't find that in the Word. What kind of car? Where am I supposed to go for my next overseas trip? You see. And these are things that will come by the Spirit outside the realm of your understanding, but it's not just enough to pray in the Spirit. Most charismatics, they've heard that, they've been exposed to it. And hopefully, if they've been exposed to it, they've yielded to it and begin to operate in it. But I operated in tongues for a long time before I ever knew how to pray and interpret back unto myself. And we used to hear Oral Roberts standing up there and talk about interpreting your own tongue. And man, it just went by me. Somehow I didn't get it. And then I got it one day. All right, let's read on. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, naturally uttered. You don't know how to speak the way He speaks. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints, look at this, according to the will of God. Now, the Spirit can intercede through you right on target, but there is a benefit that you need to tie into, and that's get your mind inspired and in tune with it. Because praying right on target most of the time will require you to operate in certain steps of obedience that if your mind doesn't know about it, you can't do it. And the Spirit will have a very difficult time moving you into that realm that He has for you. And so he says here, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now don't stop, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. The only way that everything is going to begin to work together for your good is for you to pray with the Spirit and interpret back to yourself. That's the only way. A lot of people have just hung on to verse 28 and they read it out of context. You see, as the Spirit intercedes through you according to the will of God, you will be led in the very will of God and it will be working together for your good. He's not saying there that everything the devil throws at you is going to be working for your good. Now, God can bring something out of it. I'm not saying that. But God's best is for us to walk in a way that everything is literally working for us instead of against us. Amen? Can you see that? So I fully believe that this passage is talking about praying in the Spirit or in tongues. All right, now let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. And let's just jump right into it. 1 Corinthians 14. And we want to start talking about tongues, interpretation of tongues, and we're going to get some into prophecy. Because I've seen, and you want to put this in your notes, I've seen that the three speaking gifts really are the doorway to all the other gifts. You find groups of believers that they say, oh, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but they don't allow tongues, or they don't encourage tongues, or the interpretation of tongues or prophecy. You'll hardly ever see another gift of the Spirit operate there. I've just noticed that. And it's also interesting, in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit would come on them, it always would come with tongues, and sometimes it says they would speak in tongues and magnify God, that's prophecy, and sometimes it says they spoke in tongues and prophesied. It's like the starter kit. Everybody say the starter kit.
Starter
kit. Glory to God. God wants you to have a starter kit. Get you cranked up. You know those old cars. That's tongues. It gets the Holy Ghost cranked up within you.
Amen.
Amen. It's the truth. It gets you going. All right. 1 Corinthians 14. And let's look at verse 13, 14, and 15. It says, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, you know, I had seen that when, as I got into the baptism of the Holy Spirit and so forth, but I always kicked that over into the realm of the assembly. In other words, when the believers are assembling together, if God would allow, an utterance in tongues, then somebody, dear God, needs to interpret the thing. I mean, if that were to happen. Hopefully it won't happen. That's the way a lot of people think, you know. But if it does happen, somebody jump up and interpret. No, it also applies to the individual because of the context of the next two verses. It says, wherefore let him that speaketh an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret, for if I... Everybody say I. Now, it's so obvious to me that he's talking here on a personal level. And he goes back and forth in this passage. Most of this concerns the assembly meetings. But yet he begins to use the word I. He says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. My what?
Spirit.
I want you to look on the diagram on the chalkboard. And it may be difficult to see in the back, so I'll describe it. How do you like that? How do you like that head? I'm not going to tell you whether that's Paul or Tony. I had them sit there and model before the meeting. But this is representative of a believer, and we're giving him the benefit of the doubt. He has a mind, and the scripture says that you have a spirit. Write this in your notes. Put this little diagram in your notes. Yours is going to look funnier than mine. Don't be laughing at me. There's the mind, there's the human spirit, and HS stands for Holy Spirit. Now, you need to see that. There's a difference between your human spirit and the Holy Spirit. Now, with that in mind, let's look at that. Let's look at that verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my what prays?
Spirit.
Everybody say, my spirit.
My spirit.
He didn't say the Holy Spirit. He says, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, let's look up here. When you're praying in tongues, and we're going to... It's difficult for me many times to know how far along everybody is in the congregation, so I'm going to cover a little bit on tongues. But when you're praying in tongues, it's the Holy Spirit energizing or inspiring your spirit, your human spirit. Your mind is not involved except for the will. The only part is the will. The Spirit begins to desire to utter through your physical body. The only part involved is your will. You know, somebody says, I just couldn't help myself. Pastor, I just stood up in the middle of your message and I couldn't hold it back any longer. Yes, you could.
Amen.
You can hold it back. I used to just be afraid and think God was going to catch me in the grocery store and I was going to be paying for my groceries. All of a sudden, whoa, here it comes. Why do we think like that? It's the devil. You know, that's a fear tactic. You know, if you speak in tongues, you're gonna do it in the grocery store. And you know, for the younger ones, you know, you're going to walk down the schools, the halls at school, and you're going to be saying, hi, and it's going to come out, Bakasanda! And they're all going to say, oh my. It's subject to your will. I walk around in the grocery store pushing a little buggy with Ryan. He loves to ride in those little buggies now, you know. He's grown out of this. You know, they used to set him up there with their legs hanging out. He's got to run around in a buggy. I mean, he gets around where the groceries are supposed to go. So I push him and pull one. You know, that's the way I go to the grocery store now. But I walk around in the grocery store and I pray in the Spirit very softly. Oh, sendaborike, shotarabasanda. I see somebody I know, I just switch over. Hello, how you doing? They never know. They never know. But your will is involved and you are praying in another language, other syllables, other words, however you want to put it. It's a different language, but it's your spirit praying. So he says here, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So we've immediately got a problem. We've immediately got a problem. Your mind is left out of what's going on. Now, I used to think, well, that's okay, just pray in English and then pray in the Spirit. But then Oral Roberts would stand up, and you know how he does his eyebrows, he'd say, just interpret your own tongue. Go ahead, interpret your own tongue. And I was having a hard enough time just having a tongue, much less an interpretation. And it was difficult to understand what he was talking about. But he's talking exactly about what Paul is here. Verse 15, what is it then? In other words, how are we going to get rid of this dilemma? What is it then? I will pray. Everybody say pray.
Pray.
It's not gibberish. It's not emotionalism. It's not hype. It's prayer. He says, I will pray with the Spirit. That's tongues. And I will pray with the understanding also. Now I want you to see the order there. You begin by praying in the Spirit and you turn right back around and trust God for the interpretation with the understanding. Now that's my desire tonight, is to begin to encourage you and inspire you and show you every little... I'll use the word tip. Every little tip or insight that I can pass on to help you become very accustomed to praying with the Spirit, turning right around. Look at verse 13. Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. You pause. Father, give me the interpretation. And then you come forth and out of your own mouth you're receiving understanding and revelation knowledge. Thereby you are ahead of the devil. Can you see that? It's powerful. It's powerful. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. And, everybody say and? I will sing with the understanding also. So in other words, he says you can do this with song. You can sing in the Spirit and come right back around and sing with the understanding. And trust that that's the interpretation. That's the interpretation. Now let's go over some general benefits of what tongues is all about before we get deeper into the interpretation aspect. Let me give you a definition for tongues. I like definitions. Let me give you a definition for tongues. Tongues, write this down. A supernatural utterance in a language never learned. A supernatural utterance in a language never learned and usually not understood by the speaker or the hearer. A supernatural utterance in a language never learned and usually not understood by the speaker or by the hearer. You know, some of our denominational brothers and sisters that don't quite agree in this area, they say, oh, well, the only reason tongues came was on the day of Pentecost, you know, so you can preach the gospel. You go back and study that. Was it a miracle of speaking in other languages? Or was it a miracle of hearing? It says they heard them speak in their languages. That's interesting. I've had my tongue understood by a person from another nation one time. We were trying to take a young girl at Georgia Southern College campus. We were trying to take her to a Christian meeting. She was from Ethiopia, and our desire was that she would hear the gospel and accept the Lord Jesus, so forth. And there, I don't know, five or six of us were going to this meeting. And she was uninterested. I mean, you know, she was like, well, I could care less about this meeting. And so we were taking everybody back to the dorm, and I just felt impressed to pray in tongues out loud in front of her. Now, you don't just walk up to somebody and say, can I pray in tongues in front of you? You know, they go, whoa, 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 whoa. I just said, do you mind if I pray in a special way that the Lord has given me? Very simple, not spooky. She said, well, if it'll make you feel better, go ahead. And so we all joined hands, and I just began to pray out loud. I don't know what I said. I was just praying in the Spirit. And her eyes got as big as half dollars. And she said something back in a language. I said, what are you saying? What are you saying? She said, where did you learn that? I said, learn what? What did I say? She said, you were praying the Father's Prayer in an ancient Ethiopian dialect. She got saved because of that. That was one time. The story I gave you last night of Caracas, Venezuela, before I met Mario, my first convert that became my translator. I went up to people and I just started speaking in tongues. I was hoping it'd come out in Spanish. They just looked confused. I said, well, it didn't work this time. But what I'm saying to you is tongues is not primarily given to preach the gospel. That's not what it's given for. It's given as a prayer language unto God. Only unto men when it comes back through the interpretation. So tongues, a supernatural utterance in a language never learned and usually not understood by the speaker or by the hearer. In other words, it's not just when you've gone to school and learned a bunch of languages. That's not tongues. That's not what the Bible's talking about. Now let's look at some verses. Somebody out there, you're saying, well, you know, it sounds great, but that passage over in 1 Corinthians 12 sums it up for me. You're not everybody's supposed to have it. Let's look at that. Chapter 12, let's look at verse 29. Are all apostles? The answer is no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Oh, Jason. Do all interpret? You messed up now. You read it. Let me explain this to you. It's obvious, if you'll be honest, that the Apostle Paul in that passage is talking about offices. The apostle is an office. The prophet is an office. And there are people who actually have a ministry gift to an assembly on a very regular basis of giving forth messages in tongues. Can you see that? He's not there talking about the individual usage. There are some people that have been set in the body of Christ to regularly give messages in other tongues and interpret back to that group. That's what he's talking about. Now, a very good way to understand this is the evangelist. Not everybody is called to the office of evangelist, but every believer is called to do what? Evangelize. Not everybody will be called to give messages to groups in tongues, but everybody can use tongues in their life. All right, chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after love and desire. Everybody say desire.
Desire.
Everybody say desire.
Desire.
Desire spiritual gifts, but rather, or a better translation would be even more, that you may prophesy. Now, If you don't desire the gifts, you're never going to have them. I just want to set it straight right now. If you're saying, man, I don't want to interpret my tongue tonight, don't worry, it won't happen. I had this lady come up in a seminar in Jacksonville, and her husband, I could tell, kind of drug her up there, you know. And she said, I like you, Jason. I really like you, man. I like all those principles on success, but there's just one area I don't like. I said, what is that? She says, you seem to like to have every believer speaking in tongues. I said, well, the Bible wants every believer to speak in tongues. She said, I like you, but I don't like that. Do I have to speak in tongues? Now, I could have given her a good lecture, you know, but I just paused for a moment. I said, well, Lord, what should I say? I said, no, you don't have to speak in tongues. She went, oh. She said, but you seem to want everybody to speak in tongues. Why do you say I don't have to? I said, you don't have to. You don't have to be saved. You don't have to have peace. You don't have to have joy. You don't have to have nothing. And she looked at me like I'd thrown water in her face, which I had done, a word of God. And she said, well, I just guess I really don't want it. And I said, let me tell you something. And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge for her. And you don't have to be spooky with words of knowledge. I just said, here's what the Lord's showing me for you. I said, it doesn't bother me if you never pray in tongues. I said, but what is the problem is that you have pride in your life. And the Lord has shown me that you have some very well-to-do friends that you are afraid of what they would say if they knew you spoke in tongues. By this time, her husband had stepped two paces back. He was going, that's right, that's right. I knew I was right on target. I said, the first thing, you go home. I said, don't even think about tongues. Just go home and repent for your pride. And then I said, then think about tongues. And she said, well, you're right. And she walked off. What happened, I don't know. But her husband was back there going, that's right, that's right. But you see, desire determines it. Look at verse 1. I've heard people say, oh, don't desire the gifts. Look at what the Bible says. You follow after love and, everybody say, and? Desire spiritual gifts. Now, tongues is a spiritual gift and it's for everybody. I'm going to show it to you right from the Bible. Look at verse 5. I would that some of you... Oh, I'm sorry, I misread that. I would that you all spake with tongues. Now, generally, the New American Standard is very accurate, but here, I truly believe there was a bias. It says, in the New American, I believe it says this, I wish that you all spoke with tongues. That leaves you kind of like, well, you know, I wish you could, but you can't. If you have a New International Version, some of you, I believe, what does it say? Now, I want you all. I would like for you all, every one of you, to speak in tongues. The Revised Standard says, I want you all. It's so clear. In other words, he's saying, I want you all to speak with tongues, but I even want you more to prophesy. Why? For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. Most people stop right there. Comma. Except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. So in other words, he's saying, I want everybody to have the starter kit. I want you to have tongues. I really want you to have prophecy. And I want you to learn how to interpret. Go to verse 26. It says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, some of you... Look at verse 26. Is that what your version says?
Everyone.
Part of you. A very tiny group. Fanatical group of you. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine or a teaching, hath a tongue. Now, he's obviously not talking about your physical member. That's no great revelation to say. Everybody that comes to the group has a tongue. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Paul. He's saying, when you come together, brethren, everybody has the psalm, hath the doctrine, hath a tongue. In other words, a prayer language. Hath a revelation. Hath an interpretation. Every one of you can do that. That's what he's saying. Let all things be done edifying. Go down to verse 31. You see, if it held true that not every believer was to have tongues or all the other gifts, that God's only got one or half or whatever, you know, these people teach. Look at verse 31. We'd have a bad, bad verse here. For you may all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be comforted. In other words, every believer can have it. So as you begin to see the difference between the office or the ministry gift versus your own individual usage, it's become so clear. Then the question is, do you want what God has for you? See, that's really the question. If it's from God, why would you be afraid of it? If it's from God, why would you shun it? If it's from God, He gives good things. Amen?
Amen.
And if it's from God, I want it. I grew up Presbyterian. I did not grow up in this type of atmosphere. I grew up in the Presbyterian church. And praise God for some of their songs. I can remember as a young boy standing there, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching." Boy, I love that, man. Marching as to war. Didn't know what kind of war they were talking about, but I just love the idea of marching, you know. "This is my father's world." Na, 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 na. And I tell you, the hair on my arm used to stand up in that organ. If somebody had just said, "Come down and accept Jesus," I would have been down there. But we didn't have altar calls, much less any of this kind of stuff. But see, if it's of God, I want it. And I came to that decision. Amen? Now let's quickly look at some of the benefits. Go back to verse 2, chapter 14, verse 2. He said, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men." Everybody say, "Not unto men."
Not.
So it's obvious tongues is not for preaching the gospel. "Not unto men, but unto God." That's what we call prayer. When you're speaking to God, that's called what?
Prayer.
And the title of our series is Miracle Working Prayer. If you want miracle working prayer, you need to tie right into what we're talking about tonight. "For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." So in your notes you can put this: tongues is speaking to God, and tongues is speaking mysteries. You see, until your mind gets inspired, it's a mystery. You don't know what you're saying. Now, there are certain benefits to just praying in tongues without your mind being inspired. But God says, let's go ahead and have the whole ball of wax and get your mind in on what's going on. All right, look at verse 4. "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself." So, add to your list, tongues also edifies you. Before every meeting, I never go to a meeting that I don't get off somewhere in a room or someplace by myself and just pray in tongues. I may come and I may be tired. I may have done a lot of things that day, usually do. But by the time I get there and get praying in tongues and interpret it back to myself, it's just like me walking over there and plugging into 220 Holy Ghost. I get fired up. By the time I hit the platform, I'm ready to go. Amen? Edifies myself. Somebody says, "Oh, that's selfish." Everybody needs edifying. Look at verse 6. "Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying or doctrine?" So add to your list, tongues will lead you to revelation, to knowledge, to prophesying, and to in-depth teaching. He connects tongues there, leading you to those areas. He says, "I'm going to come with tongues, but I'm going to let it lead me." In other words, that's what he's saying. I'm going to let it lead me to revelation, to knowledge, to prophesying, and to doctrine, or teaching. Or teaching. Go to verse 16. Now, we're just hopping around because obviously I can't do an expository lesson here on every verse in this chapter. He says, verse 16, "Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit." So add to your list, when you pray in tongues, you're blessing. There's a blessing aspect to it. "How shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned," in other words, a believer who doesn't know about the gifts, "say amen at thy giving of thanks?" Add to your list, giving of thanks. When you're praying in tongues, you're, I mean, it's like an all-around weapon. It's kind of like a hammer. Man, you can do a lot with a hammer. You can hammer nails with it. You can pull nails out. You can crowbar with it. Tongues is a versatile tool given to us by the Spirit. Look at verse 17. "For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified." In other words, if you just stand up and blast forth in tongues in the middle of a meeting and sit down and there's no interpretation, he's saying don't do that. But he says you are giving thanks unto God. Now, let's begin to talk about interpretation of tongues, because that's really where we want to center up on tonight. Let me give you a definition for the interpretation of tongues. Write this down. The interpretation of tongues is a supernatural showing forth. The interpretation of tongues is a supernatural showing forth of the meaning of an utterance in tongues. A supernatural showing forth of the meaning of an utterance in tongues. A showing forth. Now please add this P.S. in your notes. It is not a translation. The Bible calls it the interpretation of tongues. Big, big difference. A translation is a word-for-word rendering of a message. An interpretation is more of a paraphrase or the general core meaning of that message. I used to, you know, it used to kind of confuse me. I'd be in a meeting and some sister or brother would stand up, and they'd be giving a, you know, message in tongues and going on for about 2 minutes. And then the interpretation would come, 30 seconds. "My children, I would say to you, I love you," and that's it. I'd sit there and I'd say, "Now, wait a minute. That was a 2-minute message and a 30-second understanding." And that used to confuse me. Well, it shouldn't confuse you when you realize it's not called the translation of tongues, it's called the interpretation. In fact, that's why you can many times have two or three. I've been in meetings where there's been two or three interpretations of a tongue. Can you see that? A difference between a translation, and it doesn't always have to be something spoken. It can be just a showing forth. I was in a meeting one time where this person stood up and cut loose with a message in tongues, and all of a sudden it's like somebody walked up and went to the piano player and went, whoop, and the piano player all of a sudden just went, you could tell where the warfare was, and then you could tell where the peace was. You know, and I mean, it was so obvious, even to somebody like me that knows nothing about music, you could just feel and sense what God was saying. He said, I'm going to give you peace and rest and victory through all that warfare. Mm-hmm. Nobody stood up and gave an interpretation. It came through the piano.
Wow.
And the person playing that piano.
Wow.
It's the showing forth of the meaning. Can you see that? Mm-hmm. I've been in groups where somebody gave forth a message, and a sister who was highly trained in drama. And I'm not talking about some goofy person like you see running around some of these churches, you know. But somebody highly trained in drama would stand up and they'd just start going through all these motions. And even to a person like me who knows nothing about acting, or you could just see what God was saying. It was the showing forth of that message. It's powerful. It was powerful. All right, now let's go back to chapter 14. And I want you to see that there's two different aspects of interpretation. Go to verse 27. And verse 28. This is the assembly usage of the interpretation. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the what? The church. Everybody say the church.
The church.
Or you could say the gathering, the assembly. And let him speak to himself and to God. In other words, just go ahead and use your own prayer language and interpret back to yourself. If there's nobody there to give forth the interpretation, or if you don't feel like you've got enough faith to voice out that interpretation. Now, I don't get hung up on the two or at the most by three. I really don't. I mean, this is my personal opinion, and you may not want to write this down. I feel that the size of the assembly many times will determine how much time you can allow for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate. It's obvious if you come together with 100 people, you don't have time for everybody to give a message in tongues and interpret. Can you see that? That would be out of order. But yet I've been in groups, go back to verse 26, I've been in a verse 26 meeting. How is it then, brother, when you come together, every one of you can do it? Because there's a small group of people there. And that's perfectly in order for everybody to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, it just depends on how you want to label church and how you want to label small group. Amen. And before we have our workshop tonight, I'm going to dismiss church and we're going to break up into small groups. Hallelujah. And we're going to have a verse 26 meeting. Every one of you. Everybody say everyone.
Everyone.
Everybody say everyone means me.
Everyone means me.
Where are you going? All right. All right. Now go back to verse 13, 14, and 15. I feel that verse 13, 14, and 15 very clearly indicates the individual usage versus that assembly usage. Because look at the terms in verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So he's saying me, me, me versus a group, a group, a group. Now let's talk about how you can actually develop, and listen close and take notes right now because this is the core of what we want to talk about tonight. Let's talk about how you can actually develop in the interpretation of your own tongue and thereby receive insight on how to pray more accurately with the understanding. With the understanding. First of all, obviously, you have to have yielded to the prayer language. You have to have tongues operative in your life. Once that's operative and you're praying with the Spirit unto God, then your job is to get the mind enlightened. And you may want to draw another little head, you know, and put some of this stuff in there. Remember that old commercial where it says Ford has a better idea and the light bulb will go, chee? That's what you want to do to your mind. You want your mind to snap on with the understanding. Now, I used to think, before I moved in this, I was always so fearful. I thought, boy, I could never give an interpretation. Maybe a message in tongues. But it was really going to take a lot of faith. Or I thought that God was going to give me a computer printout. I thought I was going to be standing there and all of a sudden my eyes would cross and I would see a screen and I'd read it. The Lord would say unto you, to be encouraged and not to fear. because he knows your situation and phase two. You know, like that. That's not how it operates. Put this in your notes. It'll come as an idea. It'll come as a subject, like a category, a subject. It'll come even sometimes as a verse of Scripture that's quickened to you. It'll come as a phrase. It's an interpretation of tongues, not a translation. You are not going to have, at the moment you open your mouth, a printout in your mind or before your eyes of everything you're to say. What God wants you to learn to do is to be sensitive to His God idea, the subject that comes to you, the verse and the phrase, however you want to describe it. And it's kind of like, you know, the comic strip where they have the guy thinking, you know. That's what you're doing. You're thinking, you're listening. You're becoming spiritually sensitive. Put that in your notes. You're becoming spiritually sensitive to ideas, subjects, phrases, verses, words, categories that come to you. And you begin to verbalize that thing. You begin to verbalize that idea, that subject, that verse, that phrase. Now, I have developed myself in this. And if you've noticed, like the last couple of nights as I've ministered to people, my general pattern is I pray in tongues real heavy. Have you noticed that? Over them. And then I'll begin to come with an English word unto them. And it's generally right on target. But I also will do that in my personal life. But I have not sat there and gone and read it off of a screen. I'll just get a word. Like the young lady we were able to minister to last night. As I prayed in tongues, I felt, you, come up here, come up here. I had her come up here. And I began to pray in tongues. And the word came to me. Suicide. Depression. You see. Well, I didn't have a whole bunch of paragraphs to fill in. I just had that. I just knew that it really was spilling over into a word of knowledge is what it was doing. Tongues and interpretation will lead you to the other gifts is what I'm trying to get you to see. And as I began to voice it, it began to be added unto that phrase or category. Is this making sense to you? Beginning to see this? I want to dispel that idea. It's kind of like when you first begin to move in tongues. I thought God was going to come down, and you probably had this misconception too, and it was just, you know, He's going to open my mouth, and there it went. And I'd just be sitting there going, No, you've got to yield to it. Amen?
Right.
Now, there is a realm of faith here. There's more faith involved in interpreting a tongue than there is speaking in tongues.
Right.
Because, honey, either you're on or you're off. And I want to say this. You're going to make mistakes. That's not a bad confession. You're going to miss it sometimes. And this keeps most believers back from ever stepping out. You're going to miss it sometimes. I can remember the first time I began to step out in this area. It involved prophecy. And I was at one of these small group meetings. I'm telling you a true story. Statesboro, Georgia. Shortly after, I thought after that girl heard my tongue, ancient Ethiopian dialect, I thought, man, Jeremiah, move over. Here I come. And so, I said, I'm going to prophesy at that meeting. Glory to God. And that was all that week, you know. I look back and kind of smile now. But all that week, I was puffing myself up, I guess. You know, get the gumption to say something out loud. And so, you know, the time came. You know what I'm talking about? The time came. You know how the meetings have the time to give the word? The time came. And man, I had so much to speak forth before that meeting. I was so excited all day. I was ready to go from Genesis to Revelation. And I got there and I said, thus, and my voice cracked. I said, thus saith the Lord. And my mind went blank. I'm telling you the truth. My mind went blank. And I thought, what am I going to do now? I said, thus saith the Lord. And I begin to, when I get nervous, I sweat. And I begin to sweat, and I said, all I knew to say was, I love you, my children. That was it. And I just hung my head and said, oh, God, if I ever get out of this meeting, I'll never do this again. I promise God. The only verse I could think of was, you know, they stone false prophets. And everybody was looking at me, and you know, you try to kind of be spiritual most times. I was just, I'm telling you the truth. And they had elders in the meeting. Y'all know about elders. And I saw this one elder look at me. I thought, man, I'm going to get it after the meeting. Sometimes we forget, don't we? I said, I'm going to get it after this meeting. And so I didn't hear anything else that went on in the meeting. What happened, I don't know. But I knew after the meeting, I said, I'm going to just, you know, generally stand around and drink punch and eat cookies. I said, I'm going to leave. And so the elder was about 6 feet tall, and he wore bifocals. His eyes were like, And he made a beeline for me right after the meeting. I thought, oh, God, here it comes. And he said, Jason, I'd like to talk with you. Oh, man, I was just like a little dog, you know. And I walked over there, and I said, yes, sir. I just go ahead, lay it on me. He put his arm around me. He said, about that word that you gave. I said, yeah, I know. He said, that was a great word. I said, it was? He said, that you need to keep stepping out in that. He said, that's the first way to start. You just keep being faithful in that. He said, that was an encouraging word. Man, after he got through talking to me, I'm like, glory to God. Hallelujah. Kabasanda. Thus saith the Lord. And that was the start. Sometimes I think back, what if that man had to chastise me and you know, so forth. It probably would have crippled me for some time. But you see, it starts, you're going to make mistakes. So don't think that because you miss it, that you can't ever operate in God. You're going to miss it. Now you want to get to the point where you don't miss it. You remember the story of Samuel? We don't have time to turn there. But do you remember the story of Samuel? As a young boy, it said the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed unto him. And three times in a row, in one night, the Lord said, Samuel, Samuel. And he ran up and went to Eli. He said, what'd you say? And Eli said, I didn't call you. And about the third time, he said, now, listen, I think the Lord's trying to talk to you. At least give that man that much credit, because he had missed it on his sons. But at least give it. He said, now you go back, and if you hear that again, Samuel, Samuel, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And Samuel began to hear the voice of the Lord on that night, after missing it three times in a row. And that very same chapter says, and Samuel was established a prophet all through the land. And it says, not one of his words fell to the ground. He became so highly developed that not one of his words ever was off after missing it three times in a row in one night. That gives us encouragement. Amen? Amen. You see, prophecy, tongues, the interpretation, that is not on the same order as the prophets of old. It's not. You're not writing new scripture. In fact, that's an area of judging that I want to get into before we get through tonight, of how to judge a word, you see. But you're going to miss it, but go with it and develop it. Now here, write this in your notes. As you pray in tongues, what's going to happen is you're going to hear yourself pray in, you're going to hear yourself pray in that tongue. When I go, Bakastanda Borite Sata, Bofote Bakishonde. Not only did you hear that, but I heard it. Now, what I need to do is I need to pause. I'm getting ready to interpret right here. I'm not just showing. I'm getting ready to interpret. I pause and I say, now, Lord, show me the interpretation. Be encouraged, Jason, because the word is going forth into the hearts of these people. And know that my seed shall spring up, and this shall be a night that shall change their lives. That's what it was right there. You see, how do you know that's what it was? Because I have faith in the Spirit. How do you know you're saved? Amen. Hello?
Amen.
And so as you hear yourself pray in the Spirit, then you need to pause and don't look for that printout. That's I've got to dispel that. Don't think, boy, I'm going to have it all before I start. You're going to have a subject, an idea, a verse, a phrase, a category, something of that nature, and then go with it. When I paused just a moment ago, the thing I heard was seed. That's what I got, seed. And as I begin to put voice to it, it developed from there. Now, let me give you some tips that will help you not only in interpretation, but in all the gifts. Write these five things down. Become sensitive to, number one, something you know. Train yourself to become sensitive to, number one, something that you know. Something that you know. You say, how do I know it? You'll just know it. That really gets more over into the word of knowledge. You'll just know it. You'll just have a knowing. You'll just know it. You'll just know it. You'll just know it. Many times I'll be ministering, and I'm thinking of a time now in Evansville, Indiana, just a few weeks ago, and I was ministering at a full gospel businessmen group. It was one of the largest I'd ever ministered to. Dennis was with me. And there I was going along in the Word of God, and there was this guy sitting right there, big old muscular fella, had on a, like a Texan hat, real nice looking lady that I assumed was his wife, and she had on jewelry and so forth like this. And all of a sudden the word came to me, finances and deliverance. And I just stopped my message and I said, "You right there. Man, when you do that in front of a group," that guy went, "Me?" I said, "Yeah, you with the Texan hat." I said, "The Lord would say..." And it was just, I just knew that the fella needed a job. I just knew, it was just something I knew at the moment. I just knew the guy needed finances. I just knew that the guy had something to do with deliverance and being set free in his life. I found out after the meeting, the guy had just been released from prison. He couldn't find a job. He was discouraged, and somebody had drug him to this meeting, and all of a sudden God gave him a word right in the middle of that message. Man, he walked out of there like a real Texan, man. He was like, "Praise God, I can whip the world now." Because it's just something I knew. So become sensitive to, number one, something you know. Number two, become sensitive to something you feel. You see, what we're talking about is subjective and it's abstract, and I'm trying my best to describe internal things that will be happening within you. So become sensitive to something you feel. Just something you feel. I'm not talking about physical feeling. I'm talking about a spiritual feeling. My wife sometimes will be in a particular situation. She'll say, "Man, I feel evil here." It's really starting to get over to a discerning of spirit. She says, "I feel something's not right here." She's discerning by the Spirit. And if she's sensitive to that and begins to voice it, more so, she's beginning to develop in those gifts of the Holy Spirit. Can you see that? And it ties in with tongues too. Sometimes you'll pray in tongues and you'll just feel, and you need to put voice to it. And as you put voice to it, the interpretation is coming forth. Number three, become sensitive to something you hear. Something you hear. Something you hear. Sometimes you'll just hear a word. Sometimes you'll just hear that still small voice. I'm not talking about audibly. I'm not talking about with these ears. You'll just hear it in your mind or your spirit, however you want to put it. You'll hear it in your mind. God wants to use your mind. Amen? Amen. So become sensitive to something that you would hear. Number four, become sensitive to something that you'll see. Something that you'll see. Again, not your physical eyes. I mean, it may be a vision, but you won't have to worry about seeing it. If that's the case, you'll see it. Become sensitive to something you see. Many times when I'm praying for people, I'll just see a mental or spiritual, it's really a spiritual image in my mind, I'll see a mental or spiritual image, and as I verbalize that, it ministers to them. Several weeks ago, I was ministering in a meeting, and I was going up and down the line, you know, and when they come up there, I don't know what the needs are, and I'm just going up and praying in the Spirit and looking at them in their face, because many times you can just look in their eyes, and their eyes will just be the gateway into their mind and their soul. It'll just reflect what's going on in them, and the Lord will use their countenance and even their bodily expressions. The Lord will teach you how to discern with the Spirit, not just the mind or psychology, but with the Spirit, how to see that thing. And I stopped, and there was this girl, and I saw a picture of her, and she had on these shabby clothes, and she was just going through the mud. The mud was about knee deep, and she was just going like this, and I saw hands just coming up out of the mud pulling at her. And I just stood there, and I was trying to gather and I was praying in tongues, you see, while this was going on, tongues, and I was getting this image. I was beginning to see something. But then I saw a head, just a beautiful white light, and it like a sunrise. And I laid hands on her, and when I did, all of a sudden I began to verbalize. I said, I just told her what I saw. I said, "I see something for you." I said, "The Lord knows that you've been going through some difficult times in your life, and people have been trying to pull you down and pull you back and pull you back into a life of darkness." She broke. Just began to cry. Oh, I knew I was on it right then, you see. I homed in, zeroed in, radar. And I said, "But the Lord wants you to know that there's a light ahead, that you can walk with Him, that you don't have to settle for that." About that time, her family in the back, oh, praise God, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the girl just got set free. Amen. You say, well, what's the use of telling people like that? Man, if you ever go to a meeting and you feel like that, or and God points something out to you, it causes your faith to rise up, and you go forth and you say, God is in the midst of this person of a truth. Amen. And it just builds a person up to a Amen. Level that they can go on and walk with God. Amen. Now, you see, because the churches, in general, have left these things out, that's why people sit there week after week, and they're not getting anything out of church. It's boring to them. They wonder why they're there. They're only there because they might meet, you know, a good business contact or something. They're not even meeting God. We need to get back into the Spirit, amen? And every believer can operate in this. Every believer. The way to start is with tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Learning to prophesy. I walk around the house speaking in tongues and interpreting all the time. I walk around my house prophesying all the time. You say, who you prophesy? Me. I walk around my house. Hey, Ryan, how you doing? Hey, honey, what are we having for dinner? Great, spaghetti. Now, my son, I would say, look unto the vision that I've called you to. Know that I am opening doors. Yes, even as a door factory, I'm opening doors into the nations for you. And you shall walk forth and fulfill that dream that I gave you years ago. Look not to the faces of men. Look not to your finances. But know that I'm going to go forth before you and open the way, saith the Lord. Amen. And when I do that every day, I get motivated. Amen. Can you see that?
Amen.
Can you see that? And then I'll just stand there and I'm brushing my hair. Don't have much anyway, but I'm brushing what little hair I have. And I just look in the mirror. And I begin to prophesy. Now let me give you a definition for prophecy. Prophecy. A supernatural utterance. Prophecy. A supernatural utterance in a known language. A known language, for us that's English or whatever other learned language you may possess, Spanish, whatever. A supernatural utterance in a known language that speaks for God and is both timely and spontaneous. That speaks for God. You know, somebody said, oh, that's just when you preach. That's just preaching. Man, if every sermon I heard was prophecy, help us, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It speaks for God, but is both timely and spontaneous. Now, there's three levels to prophecy. I want to give you these. Level number one, and write these verses down. Level number one is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. Let's look at that. And this is the level you're going to start with. You're not going to jump into level two. You're going to start with level one, verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men, what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Very simple messages. My children, I would have you to know I love you. That qualifies right there, verse 3. My children, I would have you to know that you are not to fear, but have faith, because I am your provider. And if you spoke that in a timely way to a person that needed to hear that right then, it ministered to them. And that's level number one. Level number two is verses 24 and 25. This takes a little more development. And I'm going to use the word practice. Everybody say practice.
Practice.
You know, we've been afraid of that word. You've got to practice the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You got to practice them. You've got to work them. Get rid of the idea that they just come on you. Sometimes they will be inspired, but you're going to have to generally practice. I don't just wait for love to rise up in me. I practice love. I practice peace. I practice patience. Amen. Look at verse 24. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one that is unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart manifest. So level number two reveals the secrets in the heart of people. Level number two is when you've gone beyond just edification, exhortation, and comfort, and you begin to reveal things that only that person says, hey, wait a minute, man, that's got to be God, because nobody but me and my wife know about that. Oh, nobody knows about that. I hadn't told anybody. They start wondering, Jane told them. I told her to keep it a secret, and she told them. No, it was the Lord was speaking through that prophecy. It says, thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face. I've seen that happen. People are so astounded and ministered to. We'll worship God, and look, report that God is in you of a truth. You know what one of the greatest PRs for a meeting is? That right there.
Amen.
I mean, when people go forth and they're ministered to, and they get their friends, and they come back, and they say, hey man, this guy, he told me, you know, what was in my heart, the Lord did through him, you've got to see this. So what if they come for carnal reasons? They're coming.
Amen.
Amen. All right, level number three is verses 29 through 32. This is the actual office of a prophet, as I see it. Look at verse 29. It says, let the prophets... Now, that's different than just somebody stands up and prophesies. It says, let the prophets speak two or three, and let the others judge. So there is a place for judging the word. Verse 30 says, if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. Now, isn't that interesting? Let the first hold his peace. You know, we think, first come, first serve. I started first, buddy. I've been in meetings, you know, where you start to give a word and somebody across the room starts to give a word. Well, the proper way to do it is to be submitted to one another. The guy that started first, shut up and let the guy go ahead. Most of the time, he just goes ahead and runs over him, you know. But really, we need to be submitted one to another. So there's the three levels of prophecy. Now, let's talk about prophecy. A supernatural utterance in a known language that speaks for God and is both timely and spontaneous. It comes the same way. You're not going to get a computer printout. You're going to get an idea, a subject, a verse, a phrase, a category, something you know, something you see, something you feel, something you hear, and you need to verbalize it. The fifth thing, something you say. Something you know, something you feel, something you hear, something you see, something you say. There's been many times that as I've been given words over people, I will start off with something I saw. But as I'm continuing, things begin to come out of my mouth that all of a sudden after it comes out of my mouth, my mind goes, did I really say that? I hope it's right. But it's something that comes out of my mouth. It's just so spontaneous from the Spirit. But it'll never happen if I'm not faithful to go on with that which I first receive. Now, write this in your notes in big, big letters. Begin with yourself. You know, I don't want Pastor Paul calling me up, you know, 3 weeks later and saying, hey man, you got to come down here and reteach that material. I got prophets running all over the place. Somebody came up and prophesied, you know, that I had on the wrong color coat. I'm not talking about, you know, that's not the way you start. The way you start is riding around in your own car, walking around in your house, speaking in tongues, and interpreting back to yourself. And as you develop in that area, then God will see fit to trust you, perhaps in a home group, like I started, because you might forget what you were going to say. And it's better to mess up there than it is on Sunday morning. You want to embarrass yourself so bad. And after you develop it there in the small group, then the Lord may see fit to entrust you, if He desires, to give a message in the assembly. Do you see that? But you begin by being faithful in your own personal life. Your own personal life. So what you must do is you must become accustomed to walking around the house, driving in the car, wherever you can get alone, walking out in the street or the neighborhood, and just very softly, Elo so karate, bori nebasana, mofo sadna, befekete sadna. Pause. Basically, you're saying, Lord, give me the interpretation. Listen. Look at. You say, well, I didn't get it. Look at verse 13. Chapter 14, verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue, what?
Pray
that he may interpret. You may not get it every time. But the way to get it every time is as you pray in the Spirit, pray every time that you may interpret. Did you follow me on that? Did you follow me on that? You may not get it every time, but the way to get it every time is to practice by praying that you can interpret. Now, I'm going to say something, and you know the spirit that I'm saying this in. I'm charismatic. I feel like I'm a word person. I'm a faith person. I'm a mission person. I'm just love God, you know. That's really the kind of person I am. That's really the kind of person I am. You're going to miss it some, but you have to start by praying that you may interpret. Amen? Start by praying that you may interpret. Let's look at it again, verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Here's what I want to say. A lot of charismatics have used the prayer language of the Spirit to get lazy in their prayer life. Now, you don't hate me for that, but that's true. A lot of people, they've let their mind just go. And they've just prayed in the Spirit. Now, we need both of them. And it is going to be work for you, if you haven't been doing what we're talking about, to first pray in the Spirit and pause. Something I hear, something I see, something I know. There it is, a verse. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. That comes to me. That's probably God. Go ahead and verbalize it. And start this way. Put this in your notes. Quote, I feel, the Lord would say. Start that way. I feel, the Lord would say. Isn't that safe? Amen.
Amen.
It's a powerful thing to say, and say, thus saith the Lord. I'd rather start out, my children, I would say unto you, It's kind of like an article that I saw on Charisma a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was Ministries Magazine. And the article, the guy wrote, he says, "The Lord told me to write this article, I think." That was the title of the article. And he was talking about, you know, how you have to grow, and you might miss it sometimes. But the way I encourage people to begin into this is if you need a start statement to get you going, use this one quite regularly. "I feel," the Lord would say. "I feel," the Lord would say. Then if you missed it, you can just say, "I felt wrong." I'm telling you practical stuff, folks, that'll make it work for you. It'd be one thing to stand up here and get real spooky and, you know, give you a massage on your scalp and send you home and say, "Oh, you've got it." You do have it, but you have to practice it. Amen?
Amen.
So he says, "Wherefore let him, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, pray that he may interpret." Now, as you do that and you begin to yield to it, you're more and more going to have that interpretation, that sensitivity level come to you. Then you've got to put words to it, open your mouth and speak it out. Amen? Now, this is so powerful. This is so powerful what we're talking about. Oral Roberts attributes every single building on the campus of Oral Roberts University to an interpretation of tongues out of his own mouth. He attributes everything that he ever did for the university or for the Evangelistic Association out of his own mouth. I've heard him say on numerous occasions, it all came by a tongue and an interpretation of his own mouth. He would be standing there, and he would be praying in the Spirit, and it would interpret, and it would say, "Now is the time for the," whatever, Towers Dormitory, girls' side. And he would go forth and conquer with that. Now let's tie this back into prayer. Write this down. The reason God wants to give you the interpretation is to enlighten you on how to pray and walk accordingly into miracles. Did you see that? Why would God give you knowledge? So you can pray with the understanding, pray the Word on top of it, use all the principles we've been talking about, and walk smack dab into a miracle. You see, what if Oral Roberts had said this? "Now it's the time for the great healing center. The healing center shall be a place where your partner shall come and be ministered to." Something to that effect. I don't know how it came. Something to that effect. What if he had said, "Glory, a healing center is going to spring up right out there. Evelyn, do you believe that?" "Oh, honey, I believe it. You know I believe." "Richard, do you believe that?" "Oh, yes, Father, I believe that." It had never happened. I guarantee you, he took that knowledge and he began to pray on that knowledge. He began to say, "Father, I thank you for that healing center. I thank you that you're going to give me key people, key contacts, the wisdom on how to bring this thing to pass." He began to pray on top of the Spirit, on top of that knowledge, and further steps of wisdom and knowledge came. Do you see what I'm talking about? And it led to miracles. It's under construction right now. It's under construction right now. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, back when the speed limit was 70, Dennis and I were talking about this coming down here. Do you remember when the speed limit was 70? I was driving down the road in Tulsa, Oklahoma doing 70 in my LTD. I had a nice LTD. My daddy got me a four-door LTD. And Martha really liked that LTD, you know, because most of the guys didn't have cars. And when I met Martha, she said, "Oh, here's a guy with a car. And we can get off campus and have a pizza once in a while." So I was riding down the road 70 miles an hour in my LTD. And I did not know yet what I'm teaching on experientially. And there I was, singing in the Spirit. That's one of my habits. So, Lord, I like singing more than speaking. And all of a sudden, out of my mouth, "Pull over, your left front tire is about to blow out." That literally came out of my mouth. I thought, man, what was that? I said, "That's probably just me." I went back to tongues. And all of a sudden, "Pull over, your left front tire is about to blow out now." I thought, you know, this might be what Oral Roberts teaches on. I'm telling you the truth. I pulled, and usually you can hear it thump, 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 or you can feel it. Nothing like that. I pulled over. I said, "Well, let's just check this out." I got out, you know, looked down the highway trying to act cool, calm, and collected. And I looked at the tire, a piece of rubber that big hanging off. I went back to the door. "Oh, glory to God, it works, it works." I got back in the car, 30 miles an hour. Got my tire fixed. Now, why did God give me that knowledge? Just, "Oh, glory to God, my tire's going to blow out. Hallelujah." No, so that I could pray and obey and act accordingly. Amen? That's why He gives you this knowledge. And many times He gives you this knowledge Many times when he gives you this knowledge, it's not for public usage, especially concerning other people. There have been times in churches that I have seen so clearly some person's past experience. I've seen it in my mind. But God is only showing me that so that I can pray with my understanding over them, but not reveal and embarrass them in front of the congregation. Do you see what I'm talking about? That's happened on numerous occasions. On numerous occasions. In fact, in one situation in Vidalia, my wife and I began to sense this in a young girl's life, and we pulled her aside, got her off, just the three of us, and my wife was right there. And she was having a hard... She was getting ready to get married, and she said, you know, I'm having a hard time with this. I mean, I love this fella. I want to get married to him, but I just really dread the idea of being intimate, you know, because I just have a fear of that. And she went into quite some detail. And she said, I don't know what it is. And I didn't know what it was. I said, well, let's pray. And we began to pray, and I began to pray in the Spirit. I needed understanding. All of a sudden, I saw in my mind her as a little girl, and she was in a closet, and there was a grown man there, and that grown man was abusing her. Now, before you speak something out like that, you better be sensitive to the Spirit. I said this. I said, I feel like I see something. I said, you tell me if it makes sense. I verbalized it. She broke down weeping. She had forgotten about this. It had been pushed into her subconscious. But when she was a little girl, her parents would take her over to the uncle's house, who would babysit, and they had no idea what was going on, and this went on several times. And that put a fear within her that was going to ruin what God wanted to have in her marriage. Can you see what I'm talking about? And because the thing came to the surface, and we took her through some healing, inner healing, and cast the fear out of her, she has a wonderful marriage today. They're partners with me. And he's pretty happy himself too. The guy, you know, that we ministered to is a fiancé at that time. It's a powerful tool that if we don't operate in it, many things just go untreated. Now, here's what I would like to do. I want to get to the practical workshop. And I'll say this. If you don't want to participate, I do understand. Okay? Is that fair? If you don't want to participate, I do understand. But let me say this. Just have faith and participate. Even if you just get in the group and you can't, you know, muster up anything to say, just be in the group and listen to the other people. Now, Paul, come up here. You're going to help me break the groups up. What I want to do, husbands and wives, I prefer for you to be in a different group. Because many times there's an overshadowing and a binding there. What I'd like to do is have groups of five, no more than six people. Please try not to get with, you know, your closest friends, husbands and wives. Just take a step of faith and get in another group. The little bitty children, maybe we can do something with them. But before we go any further and I give you the instructions, I want you to get in a group of five, no more than six. Pull your chairs in a circle. We can get them straightened back up after the meeting. Is that all right? Did I get them in a circle?
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. So help me here pick out some of the coordinators for the group.
Okay.
Listen now. Listen.
Okay.
Don't talk.
Tony, I want Tony to be a coordinator. I want all the elders. I want Bob Jones, Bill Baker, Jimmy. Where's Melvin? Is he still here? Okay, it's Melvin. Larry Doolittle.
Coordinators, especially listen closely. We're close together in our groups. We split up into, I don't know, five or six groups. It's going to require speaking out, so I want you to speak loud enough to hear yourself and loud enough for your group to hear. But I don't want you to be boisterous. Do you understand that? Because we want to try to have each group so that you can hear the people in your group. Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to kind of back our way in to tongues and interpretation. We're going to start with prophecy. It's really easier to prophesy many times for people I've found than it is to speak out loud in tongues and then to operate in what we've been describing. Now, it may seem mechanical, but if you'll follow my instructions, I guarantee you it will revolutionize your life. I've done this with numerous churches, all over the place, and the reports and letters I get back is it changes lives. People move into a new level. In fact, I did it in Chuck's church, my home church, up at Lake Junaluska. And people, I've been hearing people walk around the house prophesying to themselves, interpreting tongues, and these are shy-type people. You know, the little people that you never hear, never see. So it'll work. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your Bible and put it in your lap, and I want you to find a favorite passage. Just find a favorite passage of yours in the Scripture. You say, I don't have a favorite one. Let me give you one. Psalm 91. John 15. One of those. Just find your favorite passage. Go ahead and turn there very quickly. And let's please don't talk because I'm trying to give instruction. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to start by prophesying. Let me read you the definition again for prophecy. A supernatural utterance in a known language that speaks for God and is both timely, we can fudge on that a little bit if we have to, and spontaneous. We can really fudge on that one if we have to. But what I want you to get used to is speaking in the place of the Lord. I encourage you to use this phrase when you begin. I feel the Lord would say. Now, I don't want you reading the Bible to your group. That's not what I'm talking about. I don't want you saying, well, here's what I think this verse means. Here's what I'm talking about. Let me turn, for instance, to, let me turn to Psalm 91 in my Bible. And I'll just give you, for instance, what we're going to do is in a moment, we're just going to have a 30 seconds or so of meditation. And then I want the coordinator of the group to start like something like this. If you were in Psalm 91, here's what you would do. And you can look at your Bible while you're doing this. I feel the Lord would say, He wants us to dwell close to Him. And if we do, we'll abide under His protection. You see, I didn't read that verse. I paraphrased it. I put it into my own words. But I said, I feel the Lord would say. And what we're going to do is we're going to go to the right. So from the coordinator, around to the right. And we're going to do this two or three times. When you get through, in other words, when I get through, I feel the Lord would say, I want you to dwell in the secret place and you'll be under my protection. Amen. And the group's listening to that. And the group is hearing that and getting built up. And then it goes to the next person. Once it leaves you, you go to another passage, another verse in that chapter, or maybe a whole other chapter, and be ready again. But yet you're listening to the people in your group. And we're just going to go round and round about three, four times doing that, and then I've got a surprise for you after that. Amen? All right. Do you understand? Very simple. Look, 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 look. I don't want you saying, I feel the Lord would say, verse 1, He that dwelleth in the... Okay? Paraphrase it. The Bible says, listen, he that prophesieth, let him prophesy according to his proportion of faith. What I'm endeavoring to do is build your level of faith up to a greater proportion that you can begin to prophesy and ultimately pray in tongues and interpret. All right, coordinators, raise your hands, the coordinators. All right, let's have about 30 seconds from this moment, and then you begin. Father, I ask right now in Jesus' name that you anoint these groups, that people will move into a new level of miracle-working prayer and sensitivity to the Spirit. Okay, could I have your attention? Amen. I know I'm interrupting some people and I'm sorry. What I want us to do now is I want you to close your Bible. And I want you to prophesy. That's what you're doing. You're speaking forth the Word of God. In God's place, I feel the Lord would say. Now I want you to prophesy out of that which you feel is in your heart. It could be a passage that you've been looking at that you're going to recall and paraphrase. It could be an idea, a subject, a verse that's coming to you. This is a different level now. You're not just looking there at something that's written. I want you to go around your group and do this with your Bible closed. And it may help, as I said, some of you to just close your eyes so that you can just focus everything out and concentrate on, I feel the Lord would say, and speak it forth to the group. And then just pick up wherever you left off and go around your group again. And then we've got a third thing to do, and then we'll be just about finished. So go ahead, right now, close your Bibles and just begin where you left off. Out loud. Third thing that we want to do is very similar to what you just did. Let me ask this. How many of you are hearing things from others? You may not feel like you're doing a great job, but how many of you are hearing things from others that are edifying you? Look at this. Look at this. You know, you hear stories about like Corrie Ten Boom, how they're in prison, they didn't have any Bibles. You know what they did? They did exactly what we're talking about. They said, I feel the Lord would say, and they paraphrased verses. They were literally entering into prophecy. It's nothing spooky or mystical. It's something that you just increase your proportion of faith by. That's what we're doing. Now, this third thing, what I want to do, is I want you to go around your group again, pick up wherever you left off, and I want the person to speak forth in tongues. Speak forth in tongues, pray out loud in tongues, then pause, I feel the Lord would say. And be sensitive to an idea, a subject, a verse, a phrase. Now, if you don't have your prayer language yet, don't be embarrassed, okay? Just let it go to the next person. Because we're going to give an opportunity at the end of this whole thing. I'll minister to anybody who wants to enter into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not that you're less of a Christian. You just need some more equipment. Amen. That's all it is to it. So, when it comes to you, if you don't have your prayer language, either let it go to the next person, or just say, I feel the Lord say, and do what you just did in English. Prophesy in English. But what I want you to do, I want you to pray in tongues. If you have your prayer language, pray out loud in tongues, loud enough to hear yourself, and then pause. Verse 13 says, he that speaketh an unknown tongue, let him pray that he may interpret. Pause. Listen. Be sensitive. Then I feel the Lord say, speak it out, okay? All right. Pick it up right where you left off right now. Coordinators, help it keep going. Well, your heart was beat real fast for nothing, wasn't it? Amen. How many of you felt like you broke into a new... I'm not saying, you know, you're a prophet. I'm saying how many of you broke into a new level in this operation? Could I see your hands?
Amen.
Praise God. Look at that. As I walked around, I got built up by what I was hearing. Let me quickly share with you, and I know you're probably away from your notebooks, but I want to give you seven ways to judge a word. If you don't have your paper, just listen to these. Seven ways to judge a word. By the way, if you got obligations and you have to go, I certainly understand. We're going a little longer than normally. But these are seven ways to judge a word. Either a word that's coming through you to you, or a word that's coming from someone else to you. Obviously, not everybody that comes up and says, the Lord wants you to know this, you're not to take it and just run with it. Number one, the first way to judge a word, does it align with the written Word of God? Does it align with the written Word of God? A couple of verses you may want to write down for this whole idea of judging a word. 1 John 4, verse 1. And 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 21. It says, hold fast to that which is good. So does it align with the written word? If somebody comes up, and I'm just going to use a ridiculous example, it says, I feel the Lord would say that you're to go kill so-and-so. Don't say, oh, hallelujah, and run with that, you see. Now, that's ridiculous, but yet, in any level, if somebody contradicts the word of God, don't go with that. Number two, does the mood or disposition of that word produce hope and promise? Does the mood or disposition of that word produce hope and promise? I've been in meetings where somebody stood up, and I mean it sounded like Jeremiah himself. But yet the whole mood was, man, you displease me. You're lucky this morning I'm not going to slap you down with lightning bolts. You're no good, you're worthless, and there's no hope. Now, that's not to say God won't correct people through prophecy. He will. But if the whole mood or disposition is leaving you hopeless and without any promise, that's not the way God operates. Can you see that? All right, number three. Does the word lead or demand? Does that word lead or demand? In other words, I've seen people prophesy to others, and the tone is, you better do this right now, or God's going to get you. And that person is actually pushing that person beyond their realm of faith or conscience or ability to operate in that right now. Is this making sense? So does the God leads, He doesn't push you beyond your ability. He'll stretch your faith, but He's not going to say, you better do it by midnight or you've missed the boat, boy. You see? That's not God. All right, number four. How will it affect other people? How will it affect other people? I had a girl come up to me at a seminar in Macon, Georgia. That's the Holy Spirit Harvest Church, Brother Sam Dry. And she was very serious. She said, can I talk with you for a second? I said, well, sure, come on over here. And she said, well, last night I went out on a date for the first time with this really nice Christian guy that goes to this church. And he spoke in tongues and interpreted it. And the interpretation was, you're to be my wife. He says, she said, you know, he's so spiritual, I guess it was God. She said, what would you do? I said, that slapped a fire right out of me. That's the truth. First of all, if it was God, he's not very mature to blurt something out like that. It was just for him, you see. And God was going to lead it in a natural way. The second of all, probably wasn't God, and he needed to be corrected. Laying on of hands, right there, you know. And I tried my best to tell her. I said, I don't care how spiritual the guy seems or how, you know, a pillar of the church he is. I said, God, you know, isn't going to, on the first date, tell you to go marry some guy when you're having doubts and reservations. You wouldn't be here talking to me about it. All right, number five. What is the timing of the word? I've been in my prayer closet praying in tongues and interpreting, and all of a sudden something come out, you know, Jason, I'm going to take you to thus and such a place, and I'm going to establish this through you and do this through you. But the timing is not to go out and do it right now. If I were to sell everything and go do that right now, I would fail. So you have to sense, what is the timing for that? If somebody comes up to you and says, oh, I see bananas. I see palm trees. I see a boat. You're selling everything. You see, that may be God, but what is the timing for that? Amen? I maybe like bananas. I don't know. Take it as a word. Run with it, brother. All right, what is the timing of the word? Number six. What is the condition of the word giver? What is the condition of the word giver? I've seen some of the most emotionally unstable people stand up and give words in a manipulative fashion and literally control a group or a church. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't love those people, we don't love those people. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, if a person's got a problem in their life, then they really shouldn't be in a position of leading a group of people through a word that's coming supposedly from God. Can you see that? So you look at the condition of the word giver. That will tell you something about that word. That'll give you a tip. And number seven, the last one, does the word stay with you? Does the word stay with you? We all have what I call a flash in the pans. There's been times that I've had somebody give me a word, and man, it just burned within me at the moment, and I just thought, man, that's God. But you know, the more I sat on it in the next two or three days, it just seemed like the thing left. I found out if it's a word from God, it'll stay with you through the thick and the thin. If it's a word from God, even through the bad times, you may not feel like you want to do such and such, but see, you'll do it. I know I'm called to be a teacher. I don't feel like a teacher every day. I don't feel equipped every day. But I know God's spoken to me through prophecy and the witness of the Spirit and so forth, and it stays with me through the good and the bad times. Do you see what I'm saying? So it'll generally stay with you. So these are seven very practical ways for judging a word. Again, let me say, practice, practice, practice. Everybody say practice.
Practice.
The gifts?
Of the Holy Spirit.
The Bible says stir them up. It says stir them up. And I encourage you in your private life, as you're walking around, prophesy to yourself, speak in tongues, and pray that you may interpret. You'll be surprised at how this will gradually lead you into all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Have you learned something tonight?
Amen.
Are you going to walk in it?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you for this seminar. And it's my desire that prayer will be more than just psychological release, but miracle working power through praying your word back unto you and through tongues, interpretation, and yes, prophecy, showing us how to pray accurately according to the will of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this teaching message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word literally around the world. I believe that we're living in one of the most exciting times of history, and it's friends just like you that make it possible for us to impact our generation for Jesus Christ. Now, here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're continuing to do it now through daily radio, conferences, crusades, cassette tapes, and literature. Now, the second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries in about 40 different nations. Now, these are full-time families that work underneath our umbrella organization. Most of these people have been to Bible school, and many have completed language school. Now, they're serving on the foreign mission field through our office, and our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize there are still millions of people around the world who need to be reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. Do you have a desire to be a part of something eternal in your generation and during your lifetime? Do you want to be able to look back and say, I was a part of making an eternal difference in reaching my generation? Well, if this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a few moments and contact our office and let us know. The easiest way that you can do this is simply to call our toll-free number and tell one of our receptionists that you desire to become one of our monthly supporters. What we'll do is simply record your commitment and then contact you by mail. It's that simple. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month. We ask people to pray for $20 a month. Or you may give more or give less. Whatever you can do will certainly be appreciated, and it will help. So please, prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between the hours of 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Now, let me give you that toll-free number so that you can write it down and follow through with this and become a part of our team. Here's that number, the toll-free number, 1-800-832-WORD. That number again, 1-800-832-WORD. Or if you prefer to write and send your check, write to World Outreach Ministries, Post Office Box B, Marietta, Georgia, and our zip is 30061. Now, as I said, tell them that you want to become one of our new monthly supporters. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today. God bless you.